the impossible dream, heaven? Or do you see it more as a concept, more than a real place where the faithful will dwell in eternity? Perhaps there are times in your life when you feel almost like there's no way you'll ever really make it to heaven, considering all the conflict in your life. To be sure, life's realities have a way of ganging up on us and leaving us with a vast need for encouragement. Sort of like the young Christian housewife who looks at a pile of dirty dishes in the sink and a pile of dirty laundry on the floor. The mailman has just delivered another handful of bills. Her 18-month-old toddler is screaming at the top of his lungs in the next room, and she's just today learned that she's pregnant again. She's been arguing with her husband over money and family problems for more than the last week. She wonders, can I really make it to heaven from all of this mess? Now, we all know that scenarios like that aren't necessarily the exception. Sometimes they seem to be almost the rule. Or maybe like the young convert, full of zeal, really wanting to work for Jesus, but he sees a lack of enthusiasm on the part of a lot of other Christians, and it's discouraging to him. On top of that, he feels or he hears that there are some rumblings about a few families that are going to leave the congregation because they've gotten upset with something the preacher said. And if that were not enough, he just the other day saw one of the prominent members of the church coming out of the grocery store with a 12-pack of beer. And he wonders, is there really a heaven? Is there really anything to Christianity? Is anybody going to heaven? And actually, his problems are not all about what other Christians are doing. Perhaps he's fighting his own battle with something. Maybe it's pornography, and maybe he slipped last week, and he grieves over that sin. And in the midst of his discouragement, he asks the question, can I even get to heaven? There's one more song I want Paul to come up and lead us in. I want you to pay careful attention to the words. In fact, the first phrase of the song forms the title for our lesson.
Is it for me to say thy glory and thy best? For me so weak and sinful, oh, shall I be so?
What can I but adore and magnify?
Maybe you noticed the first two verses of that song are in the form of questions. And actually, at the heart of each of those two questions is the fact of our sinfulness. Is it for me, dear Savior, thy glory and thy rest, for me so weak and sinful? Oh, shall I be so blessed? Is it for me thy welcome, thy gracious enter in? For me thy come ye blessed, for me so full of sin. It is a normal human tendency to question our worthiness of heaven, and the plain, blunt answer is no, we're not worthy of heaven. We're not worthy of the eternal reward. We never can be. That's exactly why Jesus died for us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "The righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit." When our obedience demonstrates our faith in his sacrifice, it enables us to be partakers of that heavenly feast. But then we've got to ask ourselves, what happens then when life starts throwing problems and difficulties our way? If we're not careful, our faith can be damaged. In fact, one of the things that the New Testament warns us about again and again is the fact that our faith needs to be properly cared for. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, to fight the good fight of faith. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, he warns that there were some who have abandoned their former faith. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 19, he tells about some who have made shipwreck of their faith. Someone says then, well, maybe it's hopeless. No. The Bible is not a book about hopelessness. The Bible is a book of hope. The hope that we have is the anchor for our souls. The writer of Hebrews says, our hope is heaven. And it's interesting that the last two verses of that song we just sang give voice to our hope. The last two verses say, "Oh, Savior, precious Savior, my heart is at thy feet. I love thee and I bless thee. Thee I long to meet. I'll be with thee forever and never grieve thee more. Dear Savior, I must praise thee and love thee evermore. Oh, Savior, my Redeemer, what can I but adore and magnify and praise thee and love thee evermore?" Tonight, I want us to take a few minutes and note three interesting things, important things about heaven. Number one, heaven is really real. It's really real. In 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power, being guarded through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." Heaven is not a dream. It's not a myth. It's not a fantasy. It's not a made-up story. It is real. Yes, there are a lot of questions about heaven that we don't know the answers to. Where is it? Will we recognize each other there? What will it be like? We don't know all the answers. But we have to trust God that it'll be far better than anything we could ever imagine. Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God who never lies promised before the ages began. Now there are some folks who reject the reality of heaven because they think this world is everything. But you and I know that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. All of the language of the Bible emphasizes the temporary nature of this earthly home. In fact, in the Bible, our time here is described as a sojourn, or a journey, a trip. There's truth in that song. We're just passing through. We're just traveling on our way to a destination that is far greater than anything we'll be passing through along the way. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16 says, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Heaven is real. Number two, heaven is a place of newness. Newness. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 to 13, just after Peter has mentioned the fact that this world is going to be burned up at the end, he says in verse 11, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we're waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, there have been a lot of folks who kind of got sidetracked over the idea that Peter says, a new heavens and a new earth. I believe that that's just terminology that's to be taken all together and describes a new dwelling place, which the Bible otherwise calls heaven. It's going to be new. In fact, that word new is a word that keeps coming up again and again and again in the Bible's descriptions of that place. It's going to be a new location. It won't be here. It won't be this earth. As much as some folks want to believe that God's just going to recondition and modify and renovate this earth, and this is where the saved will live, it's not so. It's not going to happen that way. Heaven's going to be in a new location. It's going to be a place of new character. It's going to be a place of righteousness with no threat of harm. There won't be any bad news in heaven. No bad days. Nothing bad is going to be in heaven. No bad people. No temptations that will entice us to do that which is wrong. No conflicts. No divorces. No hatred. No fighting. It's going to be totally new and different from what we're having to live in the midst of here on this earth. Going to be a place of new duration. Heaven is a forever place. We go there and we stay there. We'll never grow old there. And heaven will never grow old to us as we are there forever. When we get to heaven, we'll have a new nature. Immortal and incorruptible. No sickness, No accidents, no pain or death. That's why we call it eternal life. There, we'll possess a new disposition, a disposition of perfect joy. I don't know about you, but I don't always display the best disposition. When I have to deal with the realities of this life, just like you do, well, I'm a little bit difficult to be around sometimes. There won't be any of that in heaven. There will be no tears. And there will be nothing to cause any tears. All the causes of tears will be gone in this place of newness. Number three. Is heaven then for me? Oh, absolutely. Jesus says that it is. In John 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." If you insist on thinking that you can't go to heaven, that you can't make it to heaven, then you're thinking contrary to what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Where I am, there you may be also." John 10, verses 27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." Jesus says you can go to heaven. John writes that since Jesus loved us and died for us, we have the right to be confident about going to heaven. I've heard people sound a little bit hesitant. "Are you going to heaven?" Well, yeah, I think so. Maybe. I hope. It's almost like we're afraid to express any confidence in the reality of heaven and the reality of our being able to go there. In 1 John 4, verse 17, John says, "By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world." The Holy Spirit says that heaven is for us. Revelation 14, verse 13, John says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." Is heaven for me? Oh, absolutely. There is another song that we don't sing here. It's a beautiful song. The title of the song is "Heaven for Me." It says, "When days of toil have all gone by, and I, my dear Lord, shall see a word of welcome when we shall meet, I know will make heaven for me. The Father's house, the mansions fair, my home shall forever be. One sweet word from the Lord I love, I know will make heaven for me. He saved me from my lost estate, from sin He has set me free. Just to see Him when He shall come, I know will make heaven for me. Heaven for me, oh, it will be when Jesus whispers a welcome to me." If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.